I'm thinking in terms of the opposite of beauty that is happening on this planet right now. And it's in the extreme, the uglification, which is the genocide adventurism that is taking place right now. And there couldn't be anything more ugly. And that's what I think is our number one concern right now. And if beauty can counter that in any way, well, then bravo and go for it.
So how do we connect this horrific ugliness of this genocide? And this genocide is full of works of art, so-called, that's just sheer uglification, as these IDF soldiers are posting videos of themselves doing just horrific war crimes, and they're proud, and then all, doing things like taking these children's clothing out of the drawers of the houses that they've destroyed, and the children have been murdered. Children are slowly dying beneath the rubble. And the Israeli soldiers are like laughing and pulling out the children's clothing and scattering it around, taking pictures of themselves, ransacking these houses, and then pissing on things and defecating on things. And of course, some of them are actually showing themselves killing people. And it's just, it's so ugly. They're creating works of anti-art and uglification. So what's the connection between the ideal of beauty that we're talking about in this conference and this systematic uglification of burying 10,000 people or more to die slowly beneath rubble, and then bragging about it, and then just coming up with new cruelties, stupid cruelties, and posting them on social media, as the Zionists are trying to, trying to excel in ugliness. So what explains this?
Well, I think part of it has to do with an occupation and a domination of a people, be it the Palestinian people in Israel, or even we Americans here in the US. We're as occupied as Palestine is, only our occupation is more occluded. It isn't as direct. And so the way their occupation is playing itself out in its most extreme ugly form is a genocide. The way our occupation is playing itself out is in uglification, literal uglification, brutalist architecture, the green hair, and also in a form of censorship that shuts us out, that literally takes away our voice, our agency. And the biggest thing that has happened to date with that is an occupation, just as their occupation in Palestine has a genocide because it's more physical, our occupation is more sort of intellectual, if not digital. And that's why we are facing what I would call a soft coup d'etat. That soft coup d'etat is the emerging Anti-Semitism Awareness Act that has just recently passed through the House and is going to probably be rubber stamped by the Senate and passed by Biden. And this is a grave danger that people don't understand because it's occluded. So the beauty and the occupation, the lack of beauty, the occupation that they do to us is hard to discern because it's hard to connect the dots. But I believe that this soft coup d'etat that's happening is as big for us as where we're at as the genocide is for the Palestinians. They're both equally very bad news that the chosen people are committing and perpetrating on the planet right now.
Well, I certainly understand the idea that the United States is occupied, and the difference between the United States and Palestine, they're both occupied, but the difference is the Palestinians are fighting back. The Americans, maybe a few, but not so much overall. A lot of people would hear that, though, and they would say, "Oh, Kat, come on, that's like borderline offensive. You're talking about, this over in Gaza. They've killed, by official numbers, well into the 30,000 people out of a population of a little over 2 million that's crowded into the most crowded settlement on Earth, because it's basically a concentration camp surrounded by Zionist walls." And the official numbers might be wildly understated. Ralph Nader thought the real number of people killed could be 200,000 plus by now, and huge numbers of them are, you know, condemned to die slowly and horribly beneath rubble. This is really extreme, excruciating suffering. Whereas in the United States, people are still living, by and large, compared to the rest of the planet, a pretty privileged lifestyle. And they, there are areas here and there where folks are mistreated in the United States, maybe in a, but how can you kind of put those two things on the same level?
Because A, it's the same people who are doing them ultimately. Wurzogged, and so is Palestine. And B, it, as I said, it's a different form of an occupation. They are under the brutal jackboot in Palestine from the Israelis directly, one-on-one, mano a mano, in a corporeal, physical form. It's famine. It's death. Our occupation is more of an abstruse one that's hard to discern. And I'd like to point out, to help make my explanation clearer, is that our history includes several soft coups in the United States. So what's so important about a soft coup? Well, one in 1963 with the assassination of President Kennedy. What did that lead to? It led us right into the Vietnam War, where 58,000 American troops died, not to mention thousands and thousands of Vietnamese. Another soft coup, to help prove my point, was the 2000 judicial coup d'etat that the Supreme Court did when they threw the election to George Bush. That put us straight in line for 9/11 to be able to be pulled off, and that turned into the 9/11 wars for Israel, Iraq war being the biggest, when millions of people died through that. And then the other coup d'etat, or recent coup d'etat in memory, is the 2020 stolen election of Donald Trump. And as a result of that, there has been such a dissembling of the American people. It has heightened civil tension and anger. And what it brought into power is the Biden White House, who is behind the genocide and behind the Ukrainian war. So these soft coups are nothing to scoff at. They are major and have major impacts, with deaths for many, many people, not just abroad, but now domestically. So it's a different looking occupation. But when you follow the tendrils out all the way to their ends, millions of people are going to die. And this soft coup d'etat is going to solidify the stranglehold of the United States as a zogged nation. We might not see actual genocide, but the hooks are in to proceed with genocidal policies worldwide as much as they can do it, and certainly starting here at home.
Okay, interesting perspective. I have kind of openly disagreed with Lynn Dinh, who calls the vaccine a Jew jab and seems to imply that it's designed to do bad things to people who get the vaccine. So I argued with him about that a little bit, pointing out that Israelis and American and European Jews are very heavily vaccinated with COVID mRNA vaccine. So I didn't agree with him about that. But in terms of the idea that this occupation of the United States by the, well, and we talked about this in the first hour, sort of to the extent that there's sort of a tribal dominance of the United States, it used to be the Protestants before World War II, and now the Jews as a tribe are the most powerful tribe in America. And so that's the kind of occupation, and the Jews constitute only 2% of the population. And, you know, the real players in this are a lot less than 2%. They're probably 0.002% or less than that. So it's an occupation in that sense. I think the people at this conference, and, you know, you're sort of one of the token non-Catholics here. You know, I'm a token Muslim, and you're sort of a lapsed Catholic, but you're not really a Catholic now, are you, Kat?
Well, I left the Catholic Church when I was 14 years old, so this is like the first time in years and years that I have been encountered with so many Catholics, and I'm not opposed to anyone's spiritual practice. All spiritual practices I support. I think it's a counter to the technocratic fascist state where science becomes the new religion, and more beyond the religion of scientism and transhumanism is the Holocaustianity, which is another secular humanism sort of religion that takes us away from the true great divine, which we all at our core adhere to, and that's what they don't like. So I don't think it's, for me, I don't even need to split hairs about what religion anyone is. For me, all spirituality reaches the same goal, and because it is insurrectionist against the transhumanist scientific kind of state that they want to have, where they are the gods, the techno gods, and we are the cyber serfs.
Yeah, I'm with you on all of that. And you know, getting back to that notion of the occupations and, you know, the respective horrors of the genocidal occupation of Palestine versus this slightly different occupation of the United States, other people at this conference, the Catholics, would undoubtedly say that for them, probably one of the most obvious, not the most obvious connections between these two horrific occupations in their eyes would be the mass murders of children. For them, millions of American children are being murdered every year, because for them, abortion is, there's no difference between murdering a child after it's born or before it's born. It's exactly the same in their eyes. And so for them, millions of American children are being murdered every year. And who do they blame? They blame, quote unquote, the Jews. That is the Jewish tribe. You know, they notice that Jews have been greatly overrepresented in pushing for abortion rights, legalized abortion, and so on, and that Dr. Jones has repeatedly observed that Jews themselves have repeatedly said that abortion is, quote unquote, a Jewish sacrament. And so from their perspective, they kind of blame the Jewish takeover of America for this killing of millions of children. And so you look at Palestine and you see, like, deliberate killing of children. You see IDF soldiers wearing T-shirts that say one shot, two kills, with a target on the belly of a pregnant Palestinian woman. And you see IDF soldiers posting on Twitter and social media, I killed 14 kids today and I'm going to get more tomorrow, and things like that. And you have Ayelet Shaked, the minister in the Israeli government, saying that you have to kill the little snakes, meaning the Palestinian children, and you also need to kill the mothers who bear them, because those are little snakes and they're going to grow up and be people you have to kill anyway, so just kill the children. So this notion of child killing is a connection between these two occupations, especially in America, you know, from the Catholic perspective. And it's interesting, it does tie into what's been called a blood libel, right? The notion that back in medieval days, Jews were supposedly falsely blamed for murdering Christian children in ritual murders. And there's a whole controversy about whether there was any historical reality to that. Obviously, not all Jews were doing anything remotely like that, but there's a controversy about the fact that such practices may have actually existed and given rise to those stories. So to what extent it's a libel, who knows? In any case, that issue of, you know, just deliberate butchery of huge numbers of children, certainly most people in the conference would agree that that's a connection between the occupation of Palestine and the occupation of America. What do you think?
Yes, that's definitely part of it. I think we have to go higher up and look at the bigger picture of all the problems that we're having in the world right now, or most of them, at least certainly in the West, the problems that we're having, be it the murder of children, be it the degeneracy of transgenderism, be it war, inflation. We have so many problems right now in the West. And so rather than compartmentalize them and look at one problem, look at the other, I would rather look at the entire tree instead of, well, let's cut off this branch. Maybe we win abortion rights, or maybe we win getting rid of having to legally say he or she pronouns. These are just branches of the tree. I'm more concerned with getting at the root of the tree, because that's what binds us with Palestine and even other nations that are occupied not as much as us. It's all Zot occupation, which is Zionist occupied government, which is the Jews. And it's very, very important to say, constantly have to qualify, this is not all Jews. This is an elite cabal that actually is practically satanic. And unfortunately for good Jews, they get thrown in with the mix just as much. Jews have been expelled from at least 109 countries over the centuries, far and wide. And now we're looking at where a 110th country could be, because they are the problem. Elite cabal of Jews are the problem. And once that's solved, for example, if you've been robbed, you don't start looking for, well, let's figure out another system. Maybe I can walk down these pathways instead of this. Maybe we can put in a new alarm system. The first thing you want to know is, well, who robbed me? Who's doing this to me? That's the key, not what and how. Of course, you're going to want to know that, but the bottom line is who. If you can't identify who's exactly doing this to you, how psychologically can you understand them to be able to ward them off, if not take them out? And so what I feel is the most important is education and awareness of who is actually doing all this heinousness. The perfidiousness of the Jewish cabal, elite Jewish cabal, is what must be stopped. And it's kind of ironic that they call this new act that they're pushing through that's really, really dangerous. I think we should go into a little more detail about what that is. It's called the Anti-Semitism Awareness Act. It's sort of an interesting choice of words. I think all Gentiles, which means people who are not Jews, need to become aware of exactly what these people are doing, because if they did, I don't think the pitchforks could come out fast enough. If people really knew who was actually controlling all this, say, oh, it's the 1%, oh, it's the oligarchs, and people don't understand that the 1% has been hijacked by the Jewish wing of the 1%, and they have a whole different agenda.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good way of looking at it. The Jewish wing of the 1% has dominated, they dominate the 1%, and then the 1% dominates everybody. Likewise, the Jewish wing in the United States dominates the United States, which then goes around the world trying to dominate everybody. Well, you know, my wife, Rabia, is what Richie Allen calls her. That's her screen name, I guess. She sent me a link to a couple of really interesting links. And one of them was the Urban Dictionary, which is a dictionary of current contemporary slang, has a new entry. And it's that entry is to get Israeled. So to get Israeled is like if you're sitting at a table and somebody comes up and says, oh, can I sit at this table? You say, sure. So they sit down, and then a couple of their friends come, and then another one comes and they need an extra chair, and they ask you to leave because, you know, it's their party. So now they've taken over your table. You got Israeled. Likewise, if a squatter is in your house and you can't get into your house, and then when you try, you know, legal measures, that doesn't work. And so you own the house, but these squatters are in there and you can't get them out. And the law seems to side with the squatters. And this is actually happening more and more in the United States, apparently. You just got Israeled. But it seems to me, based on what you're saying, Kat, that we could almost say you got America'd, because it's not only did, you know, Israel do this to the Palestinians, but there's a sense to which the Jewish elite has done this to the Americans.
Right. I would tend to use the word that Israel Shahak uses, and that is Judaicized. Israel Shahak wrote a key book that explains the psychology of the Jewish people going back for centuries. He himself is a Jew, and he talks about how, as you were describing, they take control of groups, systems, domains, And they don't have to have 100% control. They don't even need 51% control. If we look at BlackRock, by and large, it only has about 6% control in businesses, yet that's enough to take control. And so what they do is they take control of areas such as drugs and alcohol. They have controlled those for years and years. Television and movies and entertainment. Everybody complains, oh, it's sex and violence in our entertainment. Well, who do you think's controlling it? And so they warp these spaces, they Judaicize these spaces, making them as ugly as negative as possible. And then anyone who wants to play in those spaces has to conform to that. Somehow they're cunning enough to know how to take control of them in a way that creates negativity just spreading out all around. Banking is another example. My grandpa started a bank. He was a pillar of his community, but the whole banking industry has become as defiled as they have made it with the 2008 takedown. That was pretty much all Jewish. If we look at Wall Street, it's definitely all Jewish. The Federal Reserve systems, that's all Jewish. And they have totally stained those systems with their casino playing, going against the rules and the law, which when you speak of rules and law, international law, they have totally violated with impunity any sorts of international rules of law that most countries would abide by, if not defiling human decency. And so what's going on in Israel right now to the Palestinians is a mask that's fully off, and we see the full extent. We hope this is the ne plus ultra of how evil and ugly they can act when they have full unimpeded expression of Judaicizing a space. They are doing this genocide. What other people in the past? This is worse than Pol Pot. This is worse than what happened during the Bolshevik Revolution. No, never have we seen such evil just perpetrated right in front of our face, and then they're trying to gaslight the evil. You can't gaslight a genocide. And so they sully spaces to degrees that people can't even understand, and we can't play in those spaces. So we need awareness to understand who is doing this first and foremost, so you can understand the psychology of how they do this. As Israel Shahak breaks down, it's like, oh, I got their number. Oh, now they're going into that space. I can pretty much figure out what they're going to do. Once we understand who, we can create systems that are better able to thwart them. And what we may even have to do is demand quotas so that they don't create blocks in control spaces, as well as perhaps their own re-education camps to learn how what it means to be human and civil.
Well, I always thought the Jewish Autonomous Oblast at the corner of Mongolia, China, and Russia would make a great re-education camp. That's where they should move to Israel. But how about the kind of like open reveling in degradation that we see in Congress, for example? Congress just keeps on going further and further into exhibiting how shamefully, totally controlled it is by Israel. And they grovel in more and more obsequious fashion, almost deliberately degrading themselves as they do it. It's kind of strange. You know, remember when Congress under Obama, when Obama was sort of feuding with Netanyahu about getting, you know, getting into war with Iran versus a nuclear deal, Netanyahu came to the American Congress and gave a speech, and the Israel lobby that owns Congress forced the vast majority of these congressmen to leap to their feet and give Netanyahu a wild standing ovation, you know, every 30 seconds or something like that. It was an obsequious display. It was totally shameful and degrading. They're like, you know, they might as well have all like just ripped their clothes off and started making, you know, obscene gestures with their private parts to, you know, to show how degraded they were. And we keep seeing these kinds of spectacles. The Anti-Semitism Awareness Act, so-called, is a little bit like that. But there was another one that went even further, Kat. Another one that that my wife sent me. She's sending me the really good stuff the last couple of days. Was there's actually, believe it or not, I thought this was The Onion or something, or is something like, my wife said, this is like a satire that you would write, but it's true. Republicans in Congress introduced a bill to impose a punishment for college students who are arrested for campus crimes, obviously thinking about these demonstrations, the anti-genocide demonstrations, and the punishment would be 6 months of community service in Gaza. So talk about, you know, just writing it, you know, in great big red letters, you know, who owns you? And it's a foreign country. It's a genocidal foreign country, and they own you. And why do they own you? Well, probably because they've got video of you performing extremely degrading acts, probably with children. That's probably why they own you. All these people in Congress who are groveling and displaying their abject submission in the most shameful, degrading ways to the state of Israel are probably doing that because they're groveling and performing abominations, shameful and degrading abominations in front of a video camera with children being filmed by, you know, the Jeffrey Epsteins that we haven't heard about yet. You know, people like Dennis Hastert, the former Speaker of the House, who was ended up being convicted of pedophilia. Well, yes, I'm sure the Israelis had tons of film on him. So anyway, there's this extreme ritual degradation that the Israelis impose on their American slaves in Congress. And it almost goes beyond what is politically astute and necessary. Are these people just sick or what?
Well, I think they are. I think, as Laurent Guillenot has written in From Yahweh to Zion, they're basically a psychopathic people. And obviously, we are not talking about all Jews, but the elite Kabbalist Jews who are controlling their own tribe and now trying to control everybody else are psychopathic. They are sick, and we need to out them. That's one of the main things that we need to do, and that happens at different levels. People who write about them often are using euphemisms such as neocons, Khazarians, even Zionist is kind of a euphemism. Zionism is low-hanging fruit. No, it's kind of low-hanging fruit. They're not necessarily Zionism is new to the Jewish power has existed long before Zionism. What we need to out is Jewish power. And so we've got a lot of people who are going after the Zionists, and they don't realize you could clear away the Zionists, shoot them all, ship them all to the moon, and you're still going to have the exact Jewish power issues that we are talking about, because Zionism is just a low-hanging subset of Jewish power, Jewish supremacism. That is the root. That is the problem. And so it's covered up by euphemisms, Mr. Global, the blob, oligarchs, the elite. That's not outing them, because people have been so suppressed of being able to talk about who is actually doing this. At least in Germany in the 1930s, when the same kinds of things were happening to them, this occupation by a foreign group who is not even considered part of the nation, the Germans were able to talk about who was doing this to them. We are not allowed to talk about it, and this new law is going to make it even more repressive. And so if you can't know and talk about who's doing this to you, you're never going to get out of it. And we've had 3 to 4 generations of a society, our youth, going through the re-education camps at the universities, who have been inculcated in the woke ideology, which is really just a way for anti-Semitism to hide there and then rear its ugly head, because everybody buys in, because these 3 or 4 generations now are in the courts, they're in HR departments, they're in nonprofits, they're in the corporate world, they're everywhere spreading this ideological virus that they all got inculcated with, indoctrinated with, in worse ways than Mao's Cultural Revolution. And so they're to the point where they won't even talk about it because it's deemed bigoted to state the obvious, but they won't even allow themselves to think what's going on. They won't even think who is doing this. And so people cannot connect the dots right now between being so propagandized, so brainwashed with woke, and so censored. People are not able to connect that when we talk about elites and the 1%, that's really the elite Jewish cabal that's doing this, who are Jewish supremacist oriented, most of them probably Zionist friendly, but not necessarily. And that's what we need to expose and bring out in the open. And that's the hardest part. And that's why they had to get this huge nuke weapon size law that they're passing through that's going to totally shut down any kind of conversation about Jews, because people don't know there are 11 points to this law. Our Congress didn't even define anti-Semitism, let alone put some kind of definitions around examples of what it will look like. They just handed it off to an organization called IHRA, which most people haven't even heard of. I've been following them for several years now. That's the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance, which is 30 plus countries around the world who are coming up with these ideas of what is anti-Semitism and then trying to get them codified, pushed into legislation, so that then you can be fined and jailed for them. And examples are that you're not allowed to talk about the Holocaust in any way that they decide, and that the Holocaust is such a the fundament, it's the bedrock of what keeps Jewish supremacism alive today. And their framing of it makes 9/11 look like a little white lie. And the other two things that you're not allowed to talk about is Jews individually in any way, shape, or form, or Jews as a people. So you can't say they're trying to control the world, they own all the money, they stick together and they have an agenda. You can't say anything about Jews now once that gets passed. Now it'll be taken to the Supreme Court, but who's going to be their guinea pig of who they're going to test it out on? But this is highly, highly repressive, illegal, anti-constitutional. It takes your breath away when you read these 11 points that our Congress just gave a whole hog to the Jews to define what is anti-Semitism that you can be put in jail and prison for. And it's happening. It's been happening in Europe for years. There's no reason it can't happen here. People don't get it yet. That's why we need people to have our awareness of what this bill can possibly do to us and everybody who, all of us Gentiles, we're 98% of the United States, be it African Americans, Hispanics, Asian Americans, white Americans, Arab Americans, we're all Gentiles. And yet this 2% wing, a small cabal wing in the 2% is taking over. So we 90% have to open our eyes, because our whole entire society could turn on a dime. It sounds crazy. Nope, that's how these laws happen. They go in boiling frog style and then they take over.
Yeah, and when you see some topic that is, they don't want you to talk about, and then they start passing laws to stop you from talking about it, and then they drum you out of careers if you talk about it, and they find ways to smear you and poison your reputation if you talk about it, and they end up throwing you in jail if you talk about it, you can be pretty sure that the reason that you're not supposed to talk about these things is that they're true. There's just no way they're going to be banning discussion of things where the people that are getting persecuted for saying the wrong things are wrong. You can almost be sure that in 90%+ of the cases, they're banning a topic because the people, the dissidents that they have to persecute and silence, are actually right. And given that, so what's being banned? What topics are being? It's all about Jewish power and privilege. Anything that challenges Jewish power and privilege from any angle, whether it's about Israel, whether it's about the Holocaust, whether it's about this or that relating to Jewish power and privilege, that's the vast majority of what's being of persecuted speech. Well, what does that tell you? I mean, that tells you who's in charge, and that tells you that they're trying to silence the people who are telling the truth about it. And I, you know, I wonder why a lot of folks with reasonably good sense most of the time can't see this. It's the elephant in the room.
Right, and they basically have a chokehold in almost all of our spaces. The Western world is pretty much controlled by them at this point. By and large, they went from the Russian Bolshevik Revolution and took control and turned it into the Soviets, very repressive communist society. They moved westward into Europe and were behind two world wars, and then they came over to the U.S. and basically control us, and now they're looking at the multipolar world, which is basically Russia, China, and the global south. There, the multipolar world of those nations are the saving grace for humanity, because Jews have not been able to take control of them yet. We are completely dominated, and we have to, the most we can do is just wake up and begin to understand. Nothing happens until you're aware. Once you're consciously aware, then everybody in their own way will resist. There's no one prescription, but we have to have the freedom to know what's going on and resist. And this act is highly dangerous. And we have to write our Congress people to say, do not pass this Anti-Semitism Awareness Act. It is danger, danger, danger to everything we hold dear.
I agree, Kat, and we should reach out and work with other people from all sorts of different perspectives and persuasions, including these third Catholics at this conference, and Jewish people.
Show.
Back next week. See you all then. Thank you, Kat McGuire. Bye-bye.
Bye.